So as I mentioned, we're talking about the virtues and we're talking about patience. And just as a really quick reminder, our talk about the virtues is framed in the category of the virtues as bringing us to God. They connect us with Him. But then also and always, they send us out into the world to do God's will in the world. And that's what we're going to see about patience also. In the 1970s, Heinz ketchup was still being sold in glass bottles. Unlike the instant gratification of today's upside-down plastic squeeze bottles, the old glass bottles took some shaking, artful tapping, and patience before the ketchup would slowly ooze through the narrow opening at the top of the bottle. Madison Avenue's executive realized that the need to keep customers happy by making unavoidable ketchup wait time something that consumers should expect without becoming disgruntled. So brilliantly, they licensed Carly Simon's top 40 hit, Anticipation, and created the tagline, "It's slow good," to increase consumers' subjective confidence that the ketchup would eventually dispense, but that it would just take a few seconds. Knowing that the thickness of the ketchup was linked to higher quality made people more patient and less irritated about the delayed gratification. Now notice a couple of words here. One is irritation or disgruntled. One is gratification, a pleasant or tasty result of ketchup. And there's the delay. And then there's this concept of patience. McDonald's struggled with the same thing. They introduced a cooked-to-order quarter pounder, which was made with fresh beef, not frozen beef. And with these comments about McDonald's and quarter pounders, I'm making no recommendation or non-recommendation for McDonald's. But this fresh beef takes 1 minute longer to cook than a frozen patty does. And initially, drive-in customers were irritated and irate about their unexpected delay in getting the quarter pounder. The consumer did not know that they had to wait for the quarter pounder because they were getting a better quarter pounder. Once they realized that the quarter pounders were cooked to order, and that there was a reason for delay, the confidence in receiving better food and knowing when it would come made their patience and willingness to wait for the extra 90 seconds grow. So again here, there's the same comments. People are irate about a 60-second wait. They're waiting for their gratification. It's delayed. But once they know there's a good reason for the delay in gratification, the patience grows. When you think about your own experience with patience, just take a think back in your mind about this last week, or maybe you can only remember this morning. When do you tend to lose your patience? It's when you have to wait too long in the line, or too long on the phone, or your YouTube video or internet site doesn't load quickly enough, or dinner is delayed, or the car in front of you does not move quickly enough when the light turns green, or the doctor doesn't come back, or Amazon lets you know that your order is being delayed. And at that time, what emotion do you feel? You feel frustration, irritation, exasperation, perhaps resentment, a slow burn. We might call it a hissy fit, or it might even be anger. And because I was working on this week, I watched this a little bit in myself. And I noticed it. When the car in front of me did not go quickly enough, irritation arose in me. I was impatient. And it's a real interesting thing, and I learned actually a lot this week about patience, because in the Old Testament, the word that's used for patience is often translated slow to anger. And in Hebrew, the word to become angry is related to the word nose. If you're angry, it means that you are hot in the nose. And to be patient means that you are long in the nose. So in the Hebrew Old Testament, the patient, the slow to anger idea, is connected with anger and frustration. This is different than perseverance, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where you persevere through something, you work hard, you're diligent, you do a job, and you do it well. And in English, we use the word patient for that, and that's a good use of the word. And in a lot of the pictures that we saw, that's what you saw. But in the old, and I'll show you in a minute, New Testament sense of the word, the opposite of anger, the opposite of this feeling of frustration, is patience, often translated slow to anger. On the screen in front of you is Proverbs 14:9. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. So here's the contrast. Slow to anger, patience, as over against a hasty temper. And the other verse from Proverbs, which I'm just going to show this morning, is whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And here again, slow to anger, patience, is held up against ruling over his spirit, ruling over the feeling of frustration and irritation and irateness that you get when something doesn't go the way you'd like it to go. Really interesting concept that you find embedded in these Hebrew words and concepts. But you also find it in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word that's often translated patient endurance is the word makrothymeo. And macro is the word that means long, taking a long time. And thymos means the soul, which in the Greek thought is interpreted as the seat of feelings and passions, including anger and temper. So the word group, the idea for patience in the New Testament, actually suggests the same thing. To be long of feeling, to delay one's anger. And here's a couple of New Testament verses where patience is used. This one, of course, will be familiar to you. Love is patient, delaying one's anger and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Love delays anger. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Is the same idea, exactly the same word. So when you think about patience, and you think about patience in your own life, then think about the times when you have had a lack of patience, when you have been irritated, angry, frustrated. And that is rooted in something that you want, and usually that something isn't coming fast enough. Now, for me, that puts a whole new flavor on the idea of patience. And it places it right in my daily life. Right at the time when I'm irritated is the time to have a long nose, a long delay of anger to show patience, to identify what is it that I want? When that guy in front of me does not pull out fast enough and I get irritated, why do I get irritated? Ask yourself the why question. what is the gratification that I'm looking for that I'm not getting quick enough, that brings anger and irritation up in me? And if I would just realize, wait a minute, is that gratification really worth this irritation? Does it really matter that much? It puts everything in perspective. And I would just as the first thing this morning, just suggest to you to think about your day and think about your week, the times when you grow irritated. Number one, notice it. Oftentimes we don't even notice it. We're too busy already on the horn. Notice it and stop and say, what am I wanting that's not coming fast enough? And put it in that bigger perspective. And you might find that you are learning to grow more long in the nose. But it's also true that the daily irritations and frustrations and the patience needed is generally, in the grand scheme of things, not that significant. If you look back on the things that irritated you this week, were they really that important? Were they really worth getting so irritated about? The fact that the person didn't push his gas pedal quick enough at the light. The fact that my Amazon came on Thursday instead of Tuesday. The fact that my remodeling job took 3 months instead of 2 months. Or whatever it is. How important are these delays in gratification in our lives? And the Bible also always draws us into a bigger picture. In the Old Testament, the same word for patience is used for God. And I want to put up three verses that use this. Exodus 34:6. The Lord passed before Moses. This was Moses the second time on Mount Sinai, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. Here it is, slow to anger, long in the nose, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The next verse comes from Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, long in the nose, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Notice that. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. And then the next one. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Here it is, slow to anger, long in the nose, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Some of us are counting, as we're reading through the Bible, all of the alls that we're seeing. Here's a couple of great big alls. God is patience. He is slow to anger. He is love. He is not wrath. The essence of God's character is love. He does not have a dark side. The Apostle John is clear as a bell on this in 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God has no dark side. God gets angry. He has the emotion of anger. He has the emotion of, to use another biblical word, wrath. But that's not who he is. He gets angry, but he is not an angry, wrathful God. And he gets angry and wrathful at anything that destroys the good creation that he has made. And that anger, that wrath, is never retributive. It's always restorative and reconciling. And that brings us to the gratification that we look for that is of God's kingdom. When we're understanding how to be patient, we're doing it in the context of God's kingdom. And we pledge allegiance to His kingdom instead of empire. And the kingdom of God seeks goodness, mercy, justice, and liberty for all. God is slow to anger. He's slowly building and working to make His kingdom become what it, at some point, is absolutely and for sure going to be: a place of shalom, a place of justice, a place of freedom, a place of security for all people and for all of creation. And once you begin to move your gaze up from the irritation of the guy who doesn't move fast enough in the green light, or Amazon that doesn't come, or the internet that doesn't download, or the remodeling that takes a couple months extra, once you move your eyes up from that and begin to see that the real gratification in this life is not the good ketchup or the quarter pounder, but it's God's kingdom. And more than God's kingdom, it's God Himself as He reveals Himself to us in Jesus Christ. And once that becomes the gratification for which you're seeking and for which your heart longs and for which you are working, then you begin to understand, you connect with God, and you understand His patience, His slowness to anger, His longness of nose with this world. And then you can begin to partner with Him in deeper and deeper ways to bring shalom for every person. You join with Him in the mission to which He has called us. So here's practically what I'd like to suggest before we go to the Lord's Supper. When you feel frustration or irritation, as I mentioned already, number one, notice it. Say, yes, this is happening. But then ask yourself why. Is it happening because I really would like that quarter pounder and it's just taking an extra 60 seconds? Is that what's happening? And in that case, you can work on what we're calling patience. Wait a minute, is that really worth getting upset and irritated about? How can I learn to grow long in the nose when my quarter pounder takes an extra 90 seconds? Or am I frustrated and irritated because something is happening that is destroying God's creation? It is correct to feel deep anger when you see a policeman's knee on the neck of George Floyd. That is a godly and a biblical anger. Don't lose it. But at that point, we go to God and we see Him being slow to anger. Slow to anger over me as an individual. Slow to anger over all of us. Slow to anger over His creation. And when I connect with that and I see what He's done in Jesus and how He's given Himself even unto the point of death to rescue George Floyd and to rescue the policeman whose knee was on his neck and the policeman who watched, and the racism and corruption in the police department that led to this being able to happen. And then you can begin to work out of a godly patience, out of a godly long-suffering, out of a godly being long in the nose, and to partner with God and to partner with His people here and around the world to see the shalom of God's kingdom come to fruition, come to what it was supposed to be, in small steps and never completely until Jesus comes. But again, we lift ourselves out of the daily irritations, the weekly irritations of the gratifications that in the end really do not mean very much. And we align ourselves with the purposes of God to restore and renew the world and to reconcile it to Himself. And with those thoughts, we would like to move to the celebration of communion.